enjoy or appreciate the season and the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. And it's easy to miss the important when I'm focused on the wrong things. It's always about perspective. It's always about focus. It's always about narrowing in on the things that really do matter and what really is important. I was home for a few days with my parents over Thanksgiving, and my mom already had the house decorated for Christmas, and it always brings back so many wonderful memories, great Christmases as kids growing up, even though there were significant hardships in our lives, even though it was a broken home, even though there were a lot of challenges. My mother was so good at carrying that and kind of shielding us from some of those hurts and challenges. Many of those things we didn't even know about until later on in life, some of the things that she carried, just trying to make sure that the season was always just right. But I remember all of the family coming together. My mom has two sisters, and then my grandmother and their kids and cousins, and we would all get together. And I remember that flocked Christmas tree there in the center of the living room, and then everyone would bring their presents, and everyone would cart in big trash bags and wagons, whatever it took. They would bring all of their presents, and somehow when you got all of these families together into the same room, it was just overwhelming how many presents were there under the tree. And I you know, if you're a kid, listen, I'm an adult, I still get excited about presents, but when you're a kid and you see all of those presents, and the only thing that's keeping you from knowing what's inside that box is a little bit of wrapping paper, I mean, there is just the temptation. I don't know how many of you are careful unwrappers. I mean, you unseal every corner just perfectly, and you think about saving the wrapping paper for next year. You recycle or reuse that, repurpose that wrapping paper. How many of you are just tear into it? It doesn't matter what it. Yeah. I like you. You're good people. It's exciting to just tear in and see what is on the inside. Yeah, presents make Christmas fun. But hear me, presents are good, but presence is better. Presents are good. I'm not denying that. We've got top secret room in this church that has just tons and tons of presents for kids, and it's fun. It's fun to go in there and see what's there. I've seen all kinds of stuff. It's exciting, those things that are going to be given out and put smiles on the faces of kids and teenagers and youth and students. It's all really exciting, but hear me, there is nothing more valuable than the presence of God. Matthew 28 and verse 20, a portion of that says, "And be sure of this." So if you're going to know anything, if you're going to be certain of anything, if you're going to be aware of any truth, if you're going to have knowledge of anything, I want you to be sure of this. Jesus speaking, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." I'm with you. You have my presence. You have my nearness. You have my closeness. I've heard so many interpretations and so many variations people's take on what this means. I certainly have my opinion, but I think there are multiple ways that we can receive this and that we can interpret this. But when Jesus says, "I'm with you even to the end of the world," another translation says, "even to the end of the age," I know he is talking about time. I know he is trying to tell tell us that just a few chapters ago in Matthew 25, I told you about wars and rumors of wars and sadness and difficulty and all kinds of pain that was going to come upon the world. But I want you to know that I'm with you. I'm with you. So when you watch the news, when you hear the radio, when you read your internet reports about the doom and gloom and struggle that is in the world, absolutely all of those things are true. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you through all of that. But listen, it's not just the world. It's your world. Because sometimes the world keeps spinning, but my world seems to stop. Sometimes the world keeps going. Job keeps coming at us. The bills keep coming in. People keep living life, but it seems like my world has stopped. And Jesus is saying, even at the end of your world, even when it seems like you've gone as far as you can go, when it seems you've done all you can do to stand, I want you to take comfort and be sure of this, that I am with you. Is anyone in this room today thankful to have the Lord with you today? It's honestly one of the best promises of Jesus. For every day that you're lonely, or every day that you feel you're the only one, for every moment of despair, for the saddest or the days of great struggle, doesn't matter what you go through in life, and you will go through a lot in life, but if you want me, Jesus says, if you want me there, even if you don't, I am with you. I am your Christmas presence, because Christmas is all about the presence of God. Christmas, that's what it's all about. That's what matters the most. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. It's never going to end. That's who he is. I know that government speaks to his authority, speaks to the fact that he has the final say. The government is sitting on his shoulders, because government is designed to bring order when there is chaos. And when you have order, you have what everyone desires: peace. I know it's hard right now to even associate the word government with peace, at least in our modern times, because it feels like there's nothing but chaos, nothing but confusion. But I don't want you to confuse his government with our government. I don't want you to watch the news and see how they fight and how they fuss and how they lie on one another and how they're constantly stabbing one another in the back, and then associate man's government with God's government. Because when you adhere to his government, when you are a part of his kingdom, when you are under his rule, when you make him Lord of your life, when you say, hey, Jesus, I want you to rule my heart. I'm going to be obedient to the laws of the land. I'm going to give respect and reverence to the leaders of the land, but I serve a greater and a higher law. I'm a part of a greater kingdom. That's why I don't involve myself in the emotion that's in these streets. That's why I won't get involved in the racism and the unkindness and the unloving attitudes that brother has to brother. Why? Because I'm in his government. I want to stay in the presence of God. I want to feel the peace of God. I want to experience the goodness of God in my life. And even to make that a whole lot simpler, let me tell you how easy it is for me. When I have a clean car, I feel better about myself. When things are in order in my life, some of you, you don't look like you have any order in your life. I love you. It's just my weird thing. Yours may be making sure the house is picked up and straight before you go to bed every night. I remember while I was traveling as an evangelist, I was staying in a pastor's home, and every night before, it was time for everyone to retire to their respective rooms, she would just be cleaning and vacuuming, and I'm thinking, man, this could have been done earlier in the day. And finally, getting to know them well enough, I said, what is it that you're doing? I mean, it's like 11 o'clock at night, and you're vacuuming, you're doing the dishes. And she said, oh, I sleep so much better with a clean house. Well, I mean, are you going to sleep out here tonight? No, she's going to sleep in her bedroom. But she'll sleep better there knowing that out here is clean. Knowing that when she wakes up in the morning, she's not going to have a sink full of dishes. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about another pastor's wife. She up there, she can't hear me. She slept better because things were in order in her life. Things were straight. Things were careful. Jesus said that peace will never end. When you get that kind of order, when you get that kind of alignment in your life, that peace will never go away. Regardless of what's swirling around you, regardless of what's happening in front of you, behind you, to the right of the left, no matter what is happening externally, your peace, your inner peace is never going to end. But there's a catch. There's a catch. There's fine print. You knew there was going to be. There's always a catch. Peace is only promised to those who are pleasing God. That's what the Bible teaches us. Luke 2:14, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. How often do we get this backwards? How often do we mess this up? How often do we say things like, well, I'll serve him if he'll give me peace in this circumstance. I'll be faithful to him if I see him work this circumstance out in my life. And I hear heaven saying, hey, you first. You make the commitment. You sell out. You say yes to the Lord. And then I'll give you peace that passes all understanding. You take a step in my direction and all of heaven will move in your direction. You make my business your business and you watch me make your business my business. You focus on me and you watch how much attention I give to you. It's so, so important because peace is a product of order and alignment. And if we're not in agreement with God's word, then something is lost, something is missing. And there's people in this room today that maybe you're feeling the frustration of life and you're feeling the weight of circumstances and things are getting to you much more than maybe they should. Your friends say, why is this getting you down? Your family is saying, hey, you need to get your act together. You don't even know why it's missing, but you've come on the right Sunday so that the word can teach all of us that peace is only promised to those who are pleasing God. And if I get my life in order, if I get my life aligned to his will and his plan, if I get my life in agreement with his word, I'm not talking about perfection. None of us are ever going to attain perfection. I'm not talking about walking so straight-laced, that you don't even need deodorant anymore. I'm talking about real life. You're still going to stink at the end of a long day. Still going to need to brush teeth every morning. You're still going to have to do the things that are necessary in life. But hear me, when my life is in agreement with his word, I'm going to have peace that is powerful. I want the peace of God. It's kind of like this. If the rule in your house is that food only happens at the table, but you keep finding Cheerios in every room, there's not going to be peace for very long, because you're going to be looking for the culprit. It's probably going to be one about this tall, little elf. You're going to be looking for the one who keeps spilling and who keeps breaking the rules. It's not going to be peace if you don't sit at the table and do it the way that I asked you to do it. But at the same time, we have to be careful of the peace illusion. Or the idea that when we give our lives to Jesus, that there will never be a struggle. I'm very careful to tell you the truth, that saying yes to Jesus does not absolve you of struggles or temptations or challenges or difficulties. In fact, that may be when the dial is ratcheted up. That's when the enemy really turns up the heat in your life, the moment you do say yes to Jesus. Because as long as you're out of alignment to the Word of God, he's happy with where you are. But the moment that you make a commitment and you set your face like flint, the moment that you point yourself in the right direction and say, hey, I'm going to keep stepping toward God's will for my life, that's when the enemy comes and begins to fight us. And the illusion is that praying a prayer to receive Christ today is going to solve all of my problems. May not. There may be some answers that come immediately. There may be wisdom and direction that comes quickly. But the reality is, I'm probably just going to get strength and patience and wisdom. I'm probably going to connect with right people and hear right advice and hear word that builds my life so that I can handle whatever it is that I'm facing. Because hear me, peace is not the promise of a life devoid of conflict or trouble, but it is the promise of his continual, available presence. Peace is not the promise of a life devoid of conflict or trouble, but it's the promise of his continued, available presence. John 16 and 33, Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Again, you got big world and you got small world. I've overcome the world. I set leaders up, I take them down. I establish kingdoms, I remove them. And in your world, I know exactly what's happening. I know what's ailing you. I know what's frustrating you. I know what's nipping at your heels. I know what's going on in your life. And in me, you're going to have peace. And I have overcome the world. You don't need me to tell you that life is hard. You're living it. You know firsthand. You've got a doctorate degree in difficulty. You know it's a reality. I just don't want you to be alone in what you face, because the devil uses that so well. He uses it so well. I've watched him do it over and over. I meet people all the time who are going through difficulty. And a good pastor will always say, where are you? Why aren't you in the presence of God? I'm just going through this. I'm going through that. Listen, don't allow the enemy to trick you into thinking that isolating yourself is going to make you stronger. It's not. It's going to make you weaker. I've got to get in the presence of God. I've got to get around people. Oh, but it's just so hard to put a smile on. It's just so hard to get myself dressed. What you're saying is you don't want to come and lie to everybody. Oh, I think I just stepped right in it. Meaning you don't want to come and tell everyone, hey, when they ask you how it's going, it's great. I couldn't be better. Life is so wonderful. careful, listen, this is a real house and a real atmosphere and a real and authentic environment. You don't have to come in acting like everything is perfect in your life. You don't have to come in trying to convince people of something that is not true. Just come in and be who you are. If things are in trouble, then come in worshiping, saying, I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'm going to open up my mouth and magnify him and thank him and give praise to him. But what I refuse to do is go sit in a corner all by myself where the only voice I hear is the voice of negativity. And I realize the ones I'm talking to are not here because they're sitting in that corner. But if you happen to listen to this podcast, we love you. And you need to get into this house because there is nothing like Christmas presents. I've been owing you a short sermon for a while, so I'm almost done. If you look around, there's lots of people living life. I've come to tell you today that his presence is a game changer. It's a game changer. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have sorrow. But Jesus said, you have me. And I need Jesus closer than ever before. I need to be running to him and not from him. Because hear me. This is a truth I want you to grasp today. His presence opens doors and provides opportunities despite our adversaries. What does that mean? Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, a wide door for effective work, a wide door for success, a wide door for blessing, a wide door for breakthrough has opened to me. But there are many adversaries. That's what Paul said. I've got doors. There's doors all around this building. Opening up any one of these doors will lead you somewhere. It will path you in a direction. It will take you somewhere. There are many doors in our lives. It's not the option of door one, two, or three. It's not the choice of him, or him. It's not like there's some multiple choice thing. He's saying, you're in my will. I'm ordering your steps. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. I'm directing you. There are many doors, but hear me, there are adversaries. And this is hard to reconcile because we think that in order for one to exist, the other must be absent. We think that in order for something good to happen in our lives, that all the bad has to go away first. And the teaching, the word didn't say it was going to happen that way. He said they were going to run concurrent. The good and the bad, the positive and the negative. In another place, he said, I've got faith, but I'm moved by fear. It's this conundrum that's in me. It's the availability of open doors, but it's many adversaries that don't want me to go through those open doors. See, most people have a tendency to be drawn to the realities of a present adversary rather than the realities of an open door. We focus on what's wrong rather than what's right. We focus on what's not working rather than what is working. What would happen if our perspective changed? What would happen if our focus narrowed? What would happen in this moment in the presence of God that we realize he's giving us a gift? A gift. So how does Paul handle this? He places all of his focus and attention on the opportunity of the open door while the adversaries are just an afterthought. Well, I know they're there. I know the enemy doesn't want me to go through this door. I know the enemy is telling me I'm going to trip, stumble, fail. Business is not going to make it. relationship is going to end. The money's going to run out. I know he's saying all of that. But instead of focusing on what he says, I'm focusing on the door. And I'm going to walk through it. That door for you may be 2020 that's coming just a few days from now. That door may be something really great in your life. That if you're not careful, you'll miss it because you're listening, focusing on the adversary. So let me ask you in closing today, which are you going to highlight this Christmas? Will I highlight his presence or my problem? Will I focus on what I have or what I lack? It's too easy to focus on the wrong thing. But in my life, I want to resist the negative. And I want to reach for his presence. I want to reach for the things of God. Because peace is a product of God's presence. And if you place the gift of his presence on your wish list, it'll be your best Christmas ever. Make a list. Check it twice. At the top of my list, God, I want your presence. I want your touch. I want your healing. I want your help. I'll take peace for Christmas. A piece of pumpkin pie, a piece of... Pardon me. I'll take peace. Because sitting in his presence will bring you far more than sitting on Santa's knee. I had to throw that in. What do you want for Christmas? The team is going to come back, or Justin, come back and join us a minute. Team, you're good. A few of you, whatever you want to do. What do you want for Christmas? I want to invite Jesus into my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to pray today for people that need the peace of God. You may be sitting here and right now your eyes are closed. You're not looking around, and it helps you to focus just a moment. Not wonder who I'm talking to, not wonder who the word is for. It's for you. It's for you. God is speaking to you. God is calling you. God is talking to you. Whatever you may be facing, I want your presence in my life. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe you've gotten too far away from him, and today needs to be a day of recommitment, rededication, a brand new yes in your life. I want to pray for you today that you would be bold enough to make that step toward him, get into alignment with his word. And I promise you that he's going to come so strong into your life, so powerfully into your heart. Pray this with me today, everyone that desires the peace of God. Say, Jesus, I need you close. I need you near. And I need you now. Facing so much in life, dealing with so many challenges, but I'm in search of your presence. Today, I give my heart to you. Today, I give my life to you. Today, I say yes to you. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for saving me. in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give Jesus a hand clap of praise in this room? Come on, for people that prayed that, if you prayed that today, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Let me know. I see hands in the